Hi, guys. Welcome to this week's Reality Bites. My name is Courtney Kosak. We have Steve Hernandez filling in for Steph today. We're here to talk about sex, love, relationships, and dating in the digital age. So, Steve, let's spill our tea.
Well, you know, since the last time I did the show, where my threesome clip went viral, my life's changed quite a bit.
What happened?
Well, I had my drunk Latino, like, okay, where I bartend is, like, very Mexican and white, but the... I have, you know,
in West Covina,
It's in Covina, different place.
What's the difference between
it's
Covina?
It's just east of West Covina.
Same, like, so people know West Covina from
movies and
from
everything.
Ex-girlfriend.
Crazy ex-girlfriend. But West Covina has been bantered about in pop culture. And I'm actually from West Covina. But the Chatterbox is in Covina. And it's different places. So we have a big show there every Sunday at 9. And a lot of times comedians will come in and they'll say, "Oh, West Covina," and everyone's like, "Oh, you piece of shit. You don't even know who we are." Very sad.
Okay, so in Covina.
Yeah, they watched the clip, and in the last episode, I talked about having sex with men. And so I had like 3 or 4 like hardcore Mexican guys like
get
very drunk. No, not for sex or anything, but just get very drunk and then say, "Steve, man, I got to tell you, I saw that show and shit tripped me out, fool." I just tell him, I just go, and I look him in the eye and I say, I'm like a god. So I'm like above all that kind of stuff. And they're like, all right.
No, are they giving you shit?
No, they don't give me shit. You can't give me shit.
No, but are they trying to give you shit?
No. It truly trips them out. But that's a lot. That's why I talk about that stuff too, is because I want them to know that it's not.
To normalize it.
I want to normalize it. Yeah, that you know guys who have messed around with guys and don't identify as gay, but it's not a big deal. Like, I didn't want to go my whole life, you know. I wanted to know if I was gay or if I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily enjoy it, you know. Maybe I haven't met the right man. I'm open to that. I wouldn't mind being swept off my feet for once, having a guy pick up the bill. But until then, yeah, everything's great. How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
But hang on. You didn't tell the important... You didn't tell... That was a nice tactic, Steve.
Yeah.
But you didn't tell the important piece of information, which is last time you talked about your ex.
All right.
And what's the status with this ex right now?
All right. I don't know if you guys remember this. Molly, do you remember this? I actually ran into Molly.
Molly's our producer.
I ran into Molly at a bar that my ex was at, and Molly and I were talking, dating, love, that kind of thing.
Recently?
And do you remember me pointing her out, Molly?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she, like, walked by, and I was like, that's the one right there. No, like, maybe a couple weeks after the show. But, yeah, we got back together after the definitive on the last episode.
You were like, I guess we came to the conclusion, yeah. It's over.
Well, I wanted to do the right thing because she was still so in love with me, still so entrenched. And I said on the last episode, it was just so sad. She was just walking on eggshells around me. And I didn't want to put her through that again. But so I didn't text her back. I didn't do anything like that. And then a couple weeks later, I ran into her at a bar. She was coming from Molly. She was coming from her work party. And I mean, she looked like a starlet of Hollywood yesteryear, just glammed up. Shiny dress, and she has this long fur coat. And I've never had a problem with her looks. Beautiful. But then she was, like, really, like, flirty with me in a way that I hadn't seen her be in, like,
a
year. Yeah, she was, like, really, she was like, "Hey, how come you're not texting me anymore?" And I was just like, "You want to talk? We could talk." And we sat down at a table at Bigfoot Lodge East late on a Sunday night, right before Christmas, and she was just like, it felt like a negotiation. So she said, "Why don't you just let me take you out on a date?" Like that. And I'm like, "Oh my God." Like, I laughed because it was very flirty. But I'm also like, who am I to not let this beautiful woman who's very cool, like, take me out? What am I doing right now?
You know what you said to me, which was awesome? You were like, "She's my friend." She's like, if my friend was like, "Give me another chance."
Yeah.
I would give my friend another chance.
Yeah, that's what I said. So I'm looking at this beautiful woman, and she really was saying, like, she's like, "Let me just take you out." And I said, "If you take me out, we're going to have a great time." And she's like, "So what?" I was like, "Then we're going to start dating." And she's like, "Why don't you just let that happen?" And I was just like, I was like, it just all felt so nice and friendly and appropriate. There was no sadness to it. I think when people get back together, a lot of times there's like a desperation to it. And I've never...
Or like a power struggle.
Oh, well, they're for sure. I mean, that was a real problem with her walking on eggshells. I don't want me to be in control and to be able to treat her bad and get away with... Not that I would, but... Well, I mean, for instance, in previous times when we were hooking up when we weren't together, there'd be times where I didn't want to drive her back to her car. And I'd be like, I don't want to drive you back. And she'd like say, oh, it's okay. I'll just take a lift. Like that kind of thing. I mean, it's not a big deal.
Not a big deal, but it's not.
Like 2 weeks ago, there was like some time where like something, we had, you know, she spent the night or something. And I was like, you know, can you take a lift back? And she was like, no. I was like, oh, I guess you're my girlfriend again. She's like, get your ass up and take me to my fucking car. I was like, all right. But, you know, I think a lot of it, I was angry at her, but I was angry, and we alluded to this, or we talked about it in the last episode. I was angry at the way the community reacted to her hitting me.
Yeah.
Where it was, like, not a big deal. And I think that stuck with me for a real long time. But that night, looking at her, I just realized I wasn't angry anymore. So if I'm not angry anymore, I don't care. This is a cool chick. Let's give it a shot. So we've been together like a month or something, and it's great, and I'm totally happy. And it's
You also said, just to be clear for everyone, like I don't know if this was on screen, but you said to me like you weren't worried about her doing that again.
Oh yeah, I'm not worried about her hitting me again. I don't understand that really why she did that because.
And it's not usually in her character.
It was never in her character. It wasn't. I think when women, and I really do believe when women hit a guy a lot of times, I think it's just different than when a guy hits a woman. And I don't know how to explain that. I don't think it's okay for a woman. That's why I broke up with her. But also, I just never felt she did that again. Also, we were both drinking a lot at that time, and I'm not drinking anymore. And so, since we've been together, she just really doesn't drink that much either.
Right.
I think when you have two people that drink a lot, things can get chaotic.
Things escalate.
Sure, and I don't want to. I'm not taking responsibility for her hitting me or anything, but I do think there are. It just wouldn't ever be in that. It wouldn't be set up like that anymore.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Well, congrats, man.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good.
I mean, this is about the 6 month mark for you.
Yeah. Things are. I've been dating this dude for like 6 months, and things are great. It's still totally like butterfly happiness, but it's real. You know, real life is happening around us and people's
Have you gotten in a fight yet?
Yes.
What?
Couple fights.
Were they about minor things? Or can you talk about one of them?
I'll touch on one thing quickly. Is that I'm figuring out how to say it. After my previous couple relationships, after each one of them, I did a lot of work on myself and thought about ways that I contributed to things that went wrong in them. And I think really worked on my communication. And so now when there's an issue or a perceived slight or something like that, I'm very quick to address it in a way that I think is fair for both of us. And I don't know, I'm really like,
okay.
I pay attention to it. In a way that I didn't before. And I'm very careful not to play games or do anything manipulative or, you know, whatever. Like, I'm policing myself pretty heavily. Not like I've got a monster inside trying to get out, but I'm just those type of things, even when they're small, can add up in a way that ruins a relationship. And so, anyway, he a couple times has said things on purpose that were mean to me. And I really, because I feel like I'm being so fair, I'm not okay with it at all.
Was he teasing?
No, he was trying to be mean.
Oh, okay.
Which is fucked up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's why... We're working on it. It's also, his parents were really mean to each other. I'm not excusing it, but his parents are divorced.
Yeah.
His dad's not alive anymore, but, and I, it was like an ugly divorce, I think. And, I don't know if they were always fair with each other. I think there was a power struggle in the post of that. So I think maybe he doesn't do, he does it in the heat of the moment.
Of course.
Totally. So it's not like premeditated meanness.
Well, then he would be a true monster.
Right. Yeah. He's not, yeah. I understand how it's happened, but I'm nipping it in the bud, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, no, you're very aware of it. You're talking about it.
Yeah.
So if this is just a problem that we can fix, then yeah, that's cool. That's what you're bringing it up for, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is not okay.
And he's, it's not like, he doesn't have like these huge character flaws. It's just these, this little shit that happens.
That's not a little thing, though.
Yeah, no.
And you know, the older I get in a relationship too, the more I understand that how you fight with the person you're with.
Exactly.
Probably is like one of the most important
and
things.
And they say there's so many articles that are like resentment, and contempt are like the biggest relationship ruiners.
Book and thing. Yeah, I think Malcolm Gladwell even touches on it in one
yes,
of his books, right?
He does. That's a, what it is. There's like a study about it, but it's in all, like every blog that's about sex and relationships will bring this up.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's what I'm trying to really steer clear of and make sure I don't contribute to. And when I see even his contribution to what could stack on top of each other, and it makes me resentful when we have to spend time talking about it.
Sure.
You know?
Well, no, I mean, I'm glad that you brought it up, and you say in this episode that he's going to be going to therapy and stuff too, so that's going to help him.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is all proactive things. So just because a person has, like, a fault, you know, I don't know
and
how...
And I'm not perfect
yeah,
either.
Of course not. But I'd like that you're working on it and that these things are at the forefront. And he's aware of it, and I'm sure he's apologized, right?
Yeah, totally. And it happened a couple times in quick succession.
Yeah.
And we hadn't fought at all before that. And it was something that probably in the past I would have just not addressed
yeah.
in the same way, but also I'm not still with those people.
Yeah.
So,
no, that's a real big win for you. Congratulations. Really?
Yeah, thank you. And when we were talking about, so he's going to go to therapy and we were both like, this is a good thing. It's good to build a proper foundation instead of try to fix something that's falling down.
Yeah. And these are just little issues that you're fixing, and that helps, absolutely helps build a relationship too, because you guys are working together to build a thing and
yeah.
to fix a thing. And I mean, maybe he's never even been with anyone who's called him on that kind of thing before.
No, he hasn't, and he was, and it's making him self-aware in ways that, yeah, I don't think anyone's ever really. And I think in his previous relationships, you know, when you're in a relationship and it's like that would be the smallest thing that they had to deal with.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There were way bigger fish to fry. So, but
no, you would be in a relationship like that.
Well, I just, in his past experience, I think that that's been true. But he, when we were talking about it, he was like, I think I did that shit to my ex-wife. Like, you know?
I mean, there's not a minute. When I think about my ex-wife, when I think about my marriage, I don't like, you know, I feel bad about a lot of things, but I'll be walking in a day and a situation will pop in my head. I'm like, God, why didn't we just leave that party?
I know. No, that's exactly why I'm reacting in this way to this stuff, is because I contributed to my past relationships. And even it's always two people.
Yeah.
But I am fully aware of the things that I did that were even small, but fucked up. A little bit of fucked upness every so often is not good. It adds up into this big disaster.
Well, I will say something. As someone who's got, like, I'm a louder person. I've got a bigger personality.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of times we get a lot of guff for being assholes or for being like a certain way. But the passivity to a lot of things, I think it's just as bad.
Yes.
I think they do that. I think on The 40-Year-Old Virgin or one of those movies, where he lies to his wife to go do the fantasy football thing? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Judd Apatow.
I think it might
like
be
this
on the 40.
Is 40.
I don't think it's this 40. It's one of those movies where that happens with the Paul Rudd character and his real life wife.
Knocked Up.
Yeah, it's Knocked Up. That's what it is. And she's a little shrill, but you know, but he lies to her and goes sneaks off.
Yeah.
And she says, "I would have liked to go to the movie. Like, you've got to give people, like your boyfriend, you've got to give us a chance. Tell us what we're doing wrong, and we'll fix it. But if you don't tell us what we're doing wrong, then we can't fix it. And you're not giving us the opportunity to be a good person and to change and to grow with you."
And it almost seems to that person like, you don't think I'm capable of change or bettering the situation
You're not. It's just like you're not giving me an opportunity to be the better version of me.
Yeah. Beautiful. So we have two amazing guests on today. They are the Emmy-nominated creators and writers, actors of Her Story, which is an amazing web series you guys should all check out on YouTube, Jen Richards and Laura Zach. So we'll be right back with those lovely ladies right after the break.
What? Why is it that you can't, England's not doing well financially.
Right.
Can't you get you call them your mates?
Mm-hmm.
They're friends.
Yeah.
Everybody else in the world, they call them mates.
Sure.
Get a couple of dozen of your mates and go down to that Buckingham Palace and kill the old bag.
To what end?
Money.
Right. Are you an old sea captain? What is this shtick that you... Are you drunk on rum? We were talking outside about why you never sort of... You never guest hosted for some of the...
I'm beginning to realize.
But, it's what's weird is you're not even drunk. And yet it's the illusion of it is extraordinary. Have you had a stroke or have you had a breakdown? It's a breakdown. You just had a slight, just a little light breakdown on the way in the car.
Hi, guys. We are back with Jen Richards and Laura Zach, the Emmy-nominated creators, writers, actors in Her Story. If you missed the L word, if you had a hankering for the L word, this is your show. Yeah?
Like a modern, intersectional, cool L word.
Yeah. a better L word. But come on, that was such a good binge. Mm-hmm. I love watching the L Word.
We were actually born on the same day as L Word. We just found this out. Yeah.
Your show?
Our show came out the same day. I mean, I think that same year, but like we share the same birthday as L Word, which was total accidental. We didn't mean to do that.
Apropos though. Yeah. That's great. So we want to get to know these ladies. So let's start with the fishbowl. Steve?
Should I let them pick?
Yeah. Let them pick their own fishbowl question.
Should they each get one?
Let's see what the question is.
Yes. Okay, so am I giving this to you?
No, you read it.
You ask Jen. Let's just do...
Jen.
We're going to pass on the interview duties.
Okay. It should be like...
Forget about us. We're not even here.
You have to guess my answer to the question. See how well
Can we just change the rules? Is this what's happening?
We're just going to take over the show.
What's your favorite sex position?
Oh, Lord. I hope you don't know.
Do you have a guess?
I feel like I feel like you like to be.
Like you're actually going.
Do you know?
No, go for it. These were the rules.
Yeah, this is.
You guys picked the rules.
This is a crazy question. I think.
I think they're all this, right?
We can all answer this. I feel like we can all answer this.
Okay, well, maybe I would like to hear from you.
Paid.
I was gonna say spooning. So yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Are you kidding?
I'm definitely.
What's your favorite sex position, Laura?
I like being on my belly.
Yeah. I like being on the bottom with my legs in the air,
facing up.
To be honest, yes.
We're just jumping right in. How about you,
Steve?
Well, you know, I've had varying different favorite sexual positions that I like. Right now, I've got a bum knee. This is really, it happened from hiking. You know how embarrassing it is to have sex with a woman in her 20s and you can't explain that you can't deliver your legendary doggy style?
Legendary.
Yeah. So now, with my girlfriend, we've been doing this sweet thing. I don't know if it's going to get boring or not, but it all plays out the same way. She rolls to the side, like kind of like spoon me, and then we kiss, and then we kiss, and then she kind of looks at me, then we kiss. And then we do this.
Really, like,
we do a little of this thing, and then for a while, and then she hops on for a while. And I'm going to show you guys pictures. Like,
no,
like,
no, we're good.
Not that.
Plenty of pictures.
Stunning. I mean, you know, you're looking at this. You're looking at this woman, and you're just like, what did I do in this life to watch this beautiful woman? So I do that until it's like, okay, this is too much. Then I take care of her. I roll her over,
this or is either like seven sexual
I'll like
positions.
Hop her just off so like clear. This.
This is their routine. This
we'll
is the
yeah,
routine.
We'll hop her up like this, and I'll go, bah, 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 bah. And then she finishes, and she's like, "Oh, best sex of my life!" Yada yada yada. And I just throw her down, and I come in like 10 seconds.
Isn't it funny how do you guys ever get the dude I'm with right now? It's like we have a standard practice.
That's what I mean. That's what
you get. Do you know?
What I just did was, but yeah. Do you have a steady person that you're dating?
No.
Okay.
So then it's like harder to get into a routine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I have had that experience though.
But it gets boring, right?
I'm not bored.
Yeah.
Well, it's 6 months for you though.
Okay.
6 months is nothing.
I think you sprinkle in variety.
Yeah.
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 Sometimes I'm the variety. I'm the variety that gets sprinkled into other people's sex now.
We'll see.
Okay. New question.
New question.
All right. Oh,
that was fun. That was.
Let's just go here. That was fun.
I'm like turned on already. This is great.
Oh, Laura, tell us about the first time you fell in love.
Oh, it was with. Well, there's like the first time that you think you fall in love, right. And then there's the first time
totally.
You actually.
Let's go with actually.
Okay. Well, the first time I think is, I don't know, but the first, that was the think I felt.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do that.
There was, it was very taboo. It was my high school English teacher, senior year. And we had this
man get fired? Or woman?
It was a man, but we never consummated. It was never physical.
Oh, my God. This is so hot. It's even hotter that you never consummated because then it was just this
heavy. Well, we did
heavy...
7 years later.
Oh, my God. This is the best thing I've ever heard of. I want to become a teacher now. This is the best
that
thing in the world.
That's not the correct response.
So, how long did you date? Who do you typically date?
I typically date women. That he was the last man the last cis man that I've had a relationship with, and that was maybe 8 years ago now. But I actually graduated high school with Mark Zuckerberg, who created Facebook as we know, and that's how I reconnected. I ended up reconnecting with the teacher from that high school over Facebook. So it was all very internal to them.
So when you were in high school, you guys just had a strong connection.
Yeah, but I mean, at the time, I felt like, okay, I had close relationships with cousins who were a lot older than me and was very used to having a social sphere with older people. But at the time, I thought like, oh, I'm a wise soul or an old soul. But then 7 years later and actually trying to date him, I realized it's not that I was advanced, it's that he was more so.
Totally, totally.
Oh my gosh.
But there was probably something a little stunted.
Well, there's no reason why a man, I don't know how old he was, but even if he was 25 or something, should be attracted to a 17-year-old. There's nothing he should be able to get.
Right. I mean, almost especially intellectually and emotionally. Which
exactly.
No, when I was 19, my girlfriend was 32. And again, the same thing. I thought like I was just so mature and wise and all this. And then once I was 32, I'm like, she was crazy.
Yes.
Like there's no way in hell I could date a 19-year-old.
Exactly.
Right. When I think now I'm a 17-year-old and I'm still like almost a decade younger than he was at the time. Like, it's not. Yeah.
Was that your first falling in love?
No. She was great though. And actually we're still friends to this day. So I kind of play it off. No, my first love. I don't really know my first love. I'm not sure like what, like who
no,
to say
it,
that
it gets
was.
Complicated because there is the think you fell in love, yeah. and then there's like the first time that you're like, oh shit, that other stuff was garbage.
No, there's only one time I wanted to get married. I'll say that there was only one person I ever like decided like this is who I want to spend the rest of my life with. That's only happened once. That was, we broke up about 8 years ago. And then we broke up and had zero contact for the last 8 years. She's not on social media. Like, we had no mutual friends, completely separate. And I was a boy when I dated her, too. So, like, she didn't even know, like, what happened to me. Until one day she was flipping through People magazine and she sees a picture of me and thinks, that woman looks familiar.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't figure it out. Like, why does that woman look so familiar? So then she Googled me and, like, started watching stuff. She's like, I know who that is. And then eventually she, like, found my bio and, like, read through it and was like, oh, my God, that's me. And then she reached out to me and, like, we're friends again now. And it's awesome.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
I love that. When did you fall in love?
What do you guys think? Like, because everyone has, like, a big unrequited one, right? Like, where that's the one is what we're
my
talking about.
My unrequited ones are dead now, but I have had that.
They passed.
But that's
no.
dead. That's so casual. Yeah,
like, they're on the other
all
side.
Of them? Like,
they're on the other side now.
You're like, yeah. You're like a witch.
Or did she kill them? Because they didn't love me back.
If you don't love me back, you will die.
If you don't love
dead
me back.
No. Yeah. Just dead in my heart.
But I mean, like, yeah, I fell in love with Chrissy Gill in eighth grade, and she was like my best friend, but I was like, I could never. It was a really sad story. She found out, this is very sad. She found out that I liked her, and we ended up going to this thing. She found that I liked her in this class period. I saw it happen. I saw a friend tell her. I watched it happen. I was like, please. I was like, just don't tell her. And I watched him get up and walk and tell her. And she was like my best friend. And I was like, really? But I couldn't deal with that yet.
Wait, you mean like she was sharing that you had told her?
This my guy friend had told, went and told her.
Oh, I
and
see.
I was
okay.
Not prepared to deal with that.
Right.
And then we got released in that period. It was fifth period in science class to this thing called the turkey trot. And the turkey trot, what the turkey trot was, is that you run this like mile and a half and whoever wins gets a turkey. But you get out of class, so we all kind of just signed up to do it. I was wearing this Morrissey shirt with this little hole in it. So I walked to this thing. This is all going to add up. So I'm like stunned that this girl, my best friend, yeah, this best friend knows that I like her now. My world's like a little shattered, but I'm just like, all right, let's go to the turkey trot. Everybody goes to watch. I like see her watching us about to run the turkey trot. I have this little hole. And this guy, Alex San Diego.
I love how you're just calling everyone out.
Well, this guy, this is like one of the worst things that ever, it's like my most embarrassing moment. So I see this. I have that. We haven't talked. I don't know how to deal with this at all. He sees this hole in my Morrissey shirt and he starts to like rip at it. Like, I don't know. He's like, oh, this is funny. And I was fat then too. Now I carry it, you know, with pride. But back then I didn't know what to do. And he just slowly started to rip my shirt and he kind of ripped my shirt in half. So I was fat with no shirt on and Chrissy Gill was looking at me like that. All I had to do, and they shot the gun and all I did was run. I just ran. Imagine a poor little fat Mexican kid just running from the love of his life. Sad.
So you never
back
together?
No, we were never anything. But that's who I would say my first love was.
Sorry, yeah. Steve.
She's got two beautiful kids now, lives in Arizona. And I'm dating babes, so everything's worked out, yeah.
Yeah, win-win. Okay, I feel like we got to know you. We went hot and then we went deep. And now let's talk about her story.
Sure.
So how did you guys meet?
You tell the story.
Okay. We met on the set of another web series I did that shot in Chicago called Hashtag.
Yeah.
And the first episode of the first season called for a small cameo role of the character was a trans waitress that my character flirts with. And so one of our producers knew Jen or knew of Jen in Chicago and brought her in. And so we hadn't even been introduced yet or said hi, hello, interacted at all until the cameras were rolling and we were flirting with each other on camera. So that established a dynamic.
Did you feel any chemistry?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah, big time.
What led to everything else.
Yeah. So then we ended up getting coffee and then we're scheming working together and wanted to write something together, and this sort of core relationship of an interest between
a cisgender lesbian and a trans woman was sort of interesting to us to explore. And we hadn't seen it, especially at the time we started writing it, modeled anywhere in media. Yeah.
Which is at the core of her story.
Right.
For me, it was just a ploy to hang out with Laura. It was much simpler than
that. That as well. That was mutual.
That's my only move. Like, hey, you want to write a book series?
And maybe at the end we'll kiss.
Why do you think you're on the show right now?
Right?
Exactly.
So with that amazing chemistry, like, did you guys ever consider dating?
No, not really.
We talked about this recently. I will kind of talked about it, about how we almost got to preserve what's really great about our chemistry by not ever going that way. Yeah. Especially when you have a creative partnership and relationship, it's almost like the best of that gets to come out in the work. And
it's a little bit of a marriage in some ways.
Yeah, exactly. Like the sum of our parts was much more important than like anything that might could have happened between us intimately. Like we just work together so well, but still have that like adoration and chemistry for on screen. So. Right. You know, it's worked out really well.
Yeah, and we were writing together the other day and happened to notice that Gmail, like the GChat, still save all of our history of correspondence. Yeah. And we found like our first emails to each other.
Oh.
It's nice to look back on that and be like, oh, we still feel those warm feelings instead of looking back and be like, remember when it used to be good and my heart was ripped out of my chest.
And I've seen a lot of like working partnerships like dissolve because of intimacy issues. And I'd much rather like keep working with Laura.
Yeah. I think the one time I worked with someone that I dated, like we don't talk anymore.
Yeah. Exactly.
But and like I respect the shit out of that person's talent and would be nice to be in touch.
Okay, do you want to talk about that more?
I'm good. I'm going to therapy after this. What's your current relationship status? I'm not going to ask you a ton. I'm not going to probe.
I'm very newly seeing someone, exploring something. I'm excited.
Like a week, and she's so giddy. It's fantastic.
A week?
Oh,
how many times
really
have you guys seen
cute.
Each other in the week?
It's lesbians.
Six?
Like the timeline. You don't understand lesbian timelines.
All I know is the L word.
But the thing is, I'm not typical in that way.
No,
I don't do the U-Haul thing. Yeah.
What's U-Haul?
When lesbians, they fall in love, they move in right away.
No, here's the old joke to understand. Like, what do lesbians bring on a second date? A U-Haul. And it's like, what does a gay man bring on a second date? Second date?
I never heard the gay man.
So it's not. Yeah, it's a different experience for him to be like, "Oh, is this what everyone's been talking about?" This whole. Yeah.
But a week. I mean, six times. You must be swept up. You must feel pretty great, right?
Yeah,
she's really cool too.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
She's fantastic. Like it was one of because I know her too, and it's one of those things. Like, oh my god, yes, of course. Like you two would be awesome together. I think we've all been kind of like,
there were like 200 mutual friends, but we had never met. So.
I like it.
Yeah,
it's cool. Come back and
the update episode.
Where are you at, Jen?
I am single AF.
Mingling?
No, I don't date really. I don't date.
Really?
I mean, I've been out on a couple dates over the last year, but it's pretty rare. I don't really. It's hard as a trans woman, frankly. You know, I like kind of.
Shetty said when Shetty was on, and she's a friend. She's like, apps are my shit because. It like brings a source of exactly who I want and wants me. And like, do you find that to be true?
No, I don't do the apps at all because to me it like creates an illusion of connection. I mean, we're probably talking about slightly different things, but I want the natural, like I meet someone and there's chemistry and see where it goes. But my
issue.
Does that
exist anymore?
It does, but here's my problem. Every time I've had it over the last few years, once he's realized I'm trans, they check out. That's been my problem because I meet guys like on an airplane or whatever, like we totally hit it off. And then at some point I have to tell them or they realize and then they're like,
well, I love that on the show too, that when you showed that too, I was like, oh, this is so you want, your character says like you want to pass, but then if you pass, you have the paradox of, oh, I've got to unleash this on this person.
Yeah. When I first wrote her story, like I didn't pass, but like now like it's become a thing, like, you know, so I meet a guy, they fall for me or I fall for them and then I have to tell them and then they're out. And if a guy already knows I'm trans, like on a dating app, then it's just a fetish. Like they just want to like fuck me and go because it's just like this, you know, thing off their erotic, you know, travel list or something like that.
Interesting.
Because there's still the stigma, because the men I date are straight, like hardcore, only attracted to women, have never been attracted to men. But the world will tell them, oh, they're really gay. If they like me, they're somehow really gay.
Right.
And then they're too chicken shit, frankly. They're cowardly, and they don't want to deal with that. They don't want to deal with other men making fun of them or thinking that they're somehow gay or less masculine.
Do you feel that changing at all? Like with transparent and
not with transparent.
I just mean like there's more. I guess I'm not using. That's not the only thing, but there is more media now.
Like Janet Mock, Laverne Cox, Sandra Sarah, Angelica Ross, like myself, Trace Lissette, like all these like really beautiful trans women in public are now, and you only ever see them as women versus like Jeffrey Tambor, who's like a man again, you know, Jared Leto, all these guys. So it is starting to change, and like a lot of my trans girlfriends, like they're finding on the dating sites that the men are coming at them a little bit more respectful and with a little bit better informed.
I love that.
It's slowly getting better.
We are going to come back and it's going to get even better on this show too. Bye.
Why do you got the phone volume up so loud again?
Fuck you.
She's pregnant.
Come on.
You're my mom.
Did you know that Jacob Dylan's dad was a singer?
What's up, tiny dick?
What's sarcasm?
I think that was.
What?
Chop up the wood.
I'll tell you a secret.
I've never interviewed someone before.
Now you tell me.
I feel like this is racist.
And we're back with Jen Richards and Laura Zack of Her Story. We got an audience question emailed in from Jordan. So we want to start with that.
Is it Jordan I work with? Do you know his last name?
he did not cite your name.
In parentheses, it does say
I have a brother named Jordan. It could be a lot of different Jordans.
Jordan I work with?
he texts me. Sorry, this is a very quick anecdotal thing.
Yeah. No, do it.
But Jordan, he's very sweet. He's like in his early 20s, and he's a straight guy, and he texts me to coach him how to text girls.
Well, that's so sweet. I love that.
Does the question have to do with texting?
No, read it.
Okay, go on.
I'm going to read it. Which one is it? Here we go. Oh, okay. This is from Jordan, co-worker. Does using toys during sex make things more helpful or more awkward?
I hope it's not Jordan from work. I mean, speaking for myself, obviously, I would say definitely not awkward.
No.
No, I can. Awesome. Yeah, they're great. And you said helpful or awkward?
Yeah.
And some of my best relationships have been with toys.
Yeah. No, I know, but I feel more comfortable using them by myself. Is that weird? I don't know.
No. I don't think it's weird.
There's no right or wrong, but that's just like I don't know.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I don't. I've never been in a relationship with someone who uses a toy like regularly, where it's really incorporated into the sex. But it sounds like you guys have.
Is that more common? Do you think in like queer dating culture?
Probably. I mean, I think it's across the board. You'll find it, but yeah, I mean, definitely in my experiences in dating women. Yeah, there's a lot of incorporation. I mean, not universally, of course. There's some sort of people who are more purist and just want it to be like body on body, but which I get too, and that there's a time for that. But yeah,
cool. Okay, so on out.com, they had like 7 answers to questions about LGBTQ. Dating, and so we want to do, and they like had statistical answers for these common questions, and we wanted to do an anecdotal fact check with you guys.
Anecdotal fact check, I like that.
Yeah. So doesn't necessarily have to be personal to you, but in your...
Yeah, between the two of us.
We cover a lot of ground.
Yeah. And like all of our combined circles of friends. And yeah.
Okay, so who stays in the closet the shortest? Like...
is this multiple choice or
of the letters in the acronym, who typically stays in the closet?
We're gonna guess science proved was the answer.
Do you mean like prior to coming out, or do you mean like when you meet someone like who like discloses the quickest?
Well, they say okay. So they
two totally different situations.
That's another question. Yes. Okay. It says. Transgender men stay in the closet the shortest amount of time actually coming out before gay men. Do you find that to be true? How long? Yeah.
No. I read that and that couldn't be. No. Yeah, that seems crazy.
I know. I thought that was odd. Shortest?
Also, and this isn't, I mean, nothing I'm going to say is universally the case, but
totally.
In my experience with several trans men, often they're first coming out in their lives as lesbians. Before. Coming out as trans male.
Oh, interesting.
And that's often really tough for trans men because they're often in lesbian cultures and like those relationships are so important to them.
Yeah.
And it's the community is so important to them. And then they like, when they come out as men, like that sometimes can threaten that. And
they could be ostracized from the community a little bit.
Or they can be. I mean, at least that's a fear for a lot of it. It doesn't always happen. But most of the gay men I know came out young. Most of the trans guys I know, they took a little longer.
Well, how old are you?
I came out at 36.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah. Well, I transitioned at 36.
Okay.
I came out as bi when I was... I mean, I never came out as bi. Like, I've been bi as long as I can remember, like, ever since I was a kid. So, like, my first boyfriend when I was 19, and I had girlfriends before that. But, yeah, I actually, like, came out to the world as trans when I was 36.
When did you have that feeling inside of you? When you were 4 years old and you knew?
No, I didn't know. I knew something was wrong with me. That's what I knew.
Yeah.
Like, because I liked girl clothes and stuff. And I knew that was bad. You know, I was raised in the South. You know, it's like, men are supposed to be men. And, you know, my mom wanted me to be a football player. And so, yeah, like, it's tough. So it
must have been a real mind thing. Because you were like, okay, I'm gay. But you were still attracted to women.
No, I never thought I was gay.
Oh, okay.
Because I was attracted to women. I was also attracted to men. The bi things have been a little harder for my head to settle, too. Because... I mean, there's so much like skepticism around bisexuality that to this day I'm like, okay, but which do I really like? You know, like which one is really?
That's so interesting.
And I would like to note that when you asked Jen, about, I don't know if this is going to be in the past or the future of the interview, but when you asked Jen about her dating life, she only mentioned men, like as if that's the assumption. But so it's almost like you embrace your bisexuality, but still kind of. Conversationally, unless it's someone who knows you to a certain degree.
True.
And I'm not outing you here because you just said you're bi.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, so, I definitely benefit from like heteronormativity.
So you're a lot like your character in the show. That's how the character is as well.
Shocking, isn't it? Imagine that. A trans woman who dates men because it makes her feel more like a woman but is secretly attracted to women. I can't relate at all.
That's hilarious. This says that... transgender, so then they do the opposite side of that question, which is who stays in the closet the longest? And it said transgender women realize their gender identity in their teens. This is obviously according to their stats, but typically wait almost 10 years before coming out, which kind of checks
that,
out.
I would totally guess that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there it also, it partly depends on where the people are coming from is too. Like the poor... straight trans girls I know, the ones who are like poor gay men tend to come out sooner, particularly if they're of color. Like most of like the black trans women I know, Latina trans women and like Asian Pacific Islander trans women, like come out young because they have nothing to lose. Like they're effeminate gay boys. And it's like so they go quicker. If you're a straight man and you can kind of like pass as a straight man, it's harder to give up that privilege. Particularly if you're a straight white man. And that's why, like, people like Caitlyn Jenner, like, they tend to transition, like, way into adulthood because they don't want to give up being a straight white man. Like, the world is built for you, and you lose all of that if you transition. So that's partly why it probably skews that statistic later.
Interesting.
There's no separating race and class from all of these issues.
Yeah, yeah. It said that, okay, so how many singles are really dating someone they met online? And it said 56% of LGBTQ singles have dated someone they met online. you guys dated people even online?
Mm-hmm. Have I? Well, I mean, if you count Twitter.
Interesting.
Like not because I don't really use dating sites, but I have like I've like hooked up with people via Twitter.
I wouldn't count Twitter.
I would count Twitter because Twitter was my previous boyfriend that you know about. That was like actually our first interaction.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, we saw each other in public, like we had common friends or whatever, but that was like our first exchanges.
I don't think people online dating, I don't think that's what.
No, it's not exactly online dating.
And also you're like revealing like your mind and ideas more. It's and you're not doing it strictly for dating purposes. Yeah. So I think I just don't count.
I mean, I have the same problem online dating that I do in person. It's like the people see my photos and they don't think I'm trans, and then like I have to tell them. And so it's the same issues online as I have in real life.
Well, and with both Jen and Angelica Ross, who plays Paige, the third lead on the show, I've heard, well, especially Angelica does this, where when coming against that moment of wanting to reveal to this potential love interest of being trans, like she'll send a gif from her story or like
she's actually
the trailer. Like she'll use like the gif of like her character being like, before we're, what's the exact quote? Like,
I just want to get something on the table before we commit to a whole dinner.
She's like a nice guy.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
She's literally sent that to a guy before a date.
I love that. That's great. Just really using your art for everything.
Yeah. Exactly.
I want to get away from it. Is there going to be a second season?
We're hoping that there will be rather a full first season. So
okay,
we've written
cool.
a super detailed treatment for a 10-episode, half-hour to hour-long per episode.
Well, I've never been into webisode stuff. This is my first experience, and I cannot believe how much you guys crammed into. It was totally an hour.
Intense, yeah.
Yeah, but it didn't even feel like, it didn't feel rushed. Each of those episodes felt like the regular beats you would take on a typical thing, but... it was, it's really great. That'd be awesome, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping
for. Someone once listed all the issues that we address in her story, and like, I was kind of shocked at how much we actually did.
Because
it didn't feel like we were trying, like, those are all just like...
It wasn't, it all happened so organically,
well,
too. She's a lawyer, so you were able to, talk about all these issues that I'm sure people deal with all the time, but it was like so great and so organic, it was wonderful, yeah.
Thank you.
I feel like you watch it and you're satisfied. Like you feel like you ate a full meal, but you're also like hungry for more. Yeah. Like it's the perfect.
Well, that's what I want to see. That's why I want to see what happens with these
well,
characters.
Well, and the rest of it is even better.
Yeah.
Honestly,
so we
like
would
the story
start
we mapped
up where
out.
We would, the full show would start where the web series ends and go from there. And yeah, we know so far into the future of the characters and other main characters that we haven't introduced yet that we would bring forward that it's really just scratching the surface what we have so far.
Yeah, the fuller cast includes like trans men, non-binary people, more. I think it's like a majority characters of color. We've got so many like really cool topics and storylines, and it would be like so timely right now. We just really want a network to like hand us a pile of money and say, "Go make it."
Make some good decisions, networks.
We've won every conceivable award they make for web series.
They've invented more
money.
Awards.
Just,
yeah.
Who's okay? I don't like this question. P.S.
Why are you asking it?
Well,
we're going through
it so we can criticize.
Yes, yes.
Let's criticize this question.
Who's having the best sex?
Lesbians.
It says about, and it's this is a weird. It says about 85% of straight men orgasm when they have sex, more than the 80% for gay men and 65% for lesbian women.
That feels.
But how many orgasms are you having at a time, straight men?
But I think they're saying that lesbians come 60% of the time, which sounds crazy to me, right?
Well, first of all, that's inaccurate. Second of all, I mean, it's inaccurate anecdotally. But also, I think that there's the assumption there of climax being goal, in and of itself is fairly male centric.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I agree. I think
I've had like really great like marathon sex where I didn't like come.
Yes.
You know, and it was fantastic.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
That's a male question.
Totally. And
sex is only complete when like, stuff shoots out of my dick. Sex is a lot more than that.
Okay. And also, I mean, as a guy, too, that coming part is like, it's like the easiest part to achieve.
Right.
And it's over after that. I mean, that's why I think lesbians probably do have the best sex, is I'm just done. I'm cooked.
like after all of that. But you guys just keep marching on, I think.
With just marching on.
Okay. How many young singles want kids someday? And it says 48% of young LGBTQ singles want to build a family with a significant other. You guys want kids?
I don't think it's in the... I mean, if I'm really honest, I want them very badly, but I've never thought it possible, so I usually even avoid the question because it makes me sad. But yeah, I would. I have like a powerful maternal instinct, and I love being around kids. And like, I only have one sibling, my brother, and he doesn't have any. He's married, but they don't have kids, so I don't even get like, you know, nieces and nephews.
Right.
But yeah, I would love.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd like kids too, but it's never felt to me like that's never been the first priority. It's like if that organic, like it wouldn't be a deal breaker if someone like I really loved and was an ideal partner didn't want them. But in my ideal, it would involve kids.
Well, and her story is kind of our kid. We get birth to it together and it's like growing up.
Yeah. But career stuff is hard. It's like, I love the idea of kids, but I don't know when I will be ready to be like, I can put my dreams in the back seat, and
I think it's also a very hetero thing to think like that's the only form of family. Like I have
totally
family that is not related by blood, and like they will be family for life, and that's totally. Really, really powerful. We're kind of rethinking the whole structure of family now, and I think the way that queer people bond together and support each other like over the course of a lifetime is part of that process.
Yeah, totally. I think that's probably even more extreme than my experience, but even moving away from Minnesota and moving to LA and you just kind of rebuild your structures around your friends it's deep. It's like I have had deeper experiences with friends than a lot of family.
And you do have your art, which our culture is so focused towards family. And I think a lot of that is because people don't oftentimes have a reason to live, but with art we have like a real reason to live.
Well, it's a remnant of agricultural industrial shaping of society in which people married young, lived in the same place, had a single job for their entire life, and their parents lived in the same town that they could help raise the kids, and the whole structure of it was built around like agrarian industrial life, and we're past that now. We all move around so much, like our jobs shift, so the old social structures don't work as well anymore.
Post-scarcity. Let's play a quick round of Would You Rather. Lightning round. Lick your partner's foot after a long hike or open mouth kiss their dog?
Oh, I mean, the dog.
We had this fight outside too, where I was like, oh, come on, this is the dumbest thing. I'll lick the foot. And then she was like, no way. She was like, no way.
Actually, honestly, neither of them seem that bad to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I would go with dog's mouth. But
it's like pheromones or a doggy. A sweet doggy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Meet your partner's parents for the first time or watch their nephew.
I look forward to both.
Yeah.
Those
what a
awesome.
Joy. What a pleasure. I know.
We're not challenging you, please.
Steak or salmon?
Parents love me.
Yeah.
Nephews love me.
Yeah.
Love combination. Weekend with the nephew and the parents.
I love, don't, I love you, don't you love meeting your partner's parents?
Yeah. Yes.
If you like your partner.
If you like your partner. Yeah. As I get older, I like meeting their parents more, I would say. But when I was younger, it was a little bit of like a kind of felt weird. The last one's pretty good. Share a psychiatrist or share a toothbrush?
Preferred toothbrush.
Psychiatrist.
But you're already
psychiatrist.
Are you one of those like it's not the same as making out things about the toothbrush?
It's not.
Well, I just don't see any harm in sharing a psychiatrist either. They just prescribe meds. Not therapist would be different.
Therapist. Let's say therapist.
Okay. Good question. Yeah, I assumed that that's what you meant.
Very literal.
But not a couple's therapist. Like, you're individually going to the
same one that
therapist.
You go spill all your dirt to.
Toothbrush, then. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, you don't think there would be something cool about, like, them, like, putting together the thing?
I mean, for them,
I think there would be something kind of cool about it because they.
I'm literally going to my therapist. I don't know if I should say this.
Your boyfriend and you guys share a therapist?
Well, he's going to go to my therapist on Tuesday.
As part of your therapy, or is
well, I'm going to go with him the first time, and then he's going to go by himself.
Yeah.
We'll see how this unfolds.
Was this really you just sussing out?
I was like, this hypothetically.
What do you guys think?
Do you guys support this, or?
It's amazing.
I don't have any problem with, if you're eating butt and everything, like, why would you have a problem with a toothbrush? No.
Not my favorite thing, toothbrush.
I wouldn't choose to do it, but between those, yeah. I would go for that.
This has been so fun. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Is this all we're getting with them? That's all the time we're getting?
Double issue. Let's just keep going. Like, we can talk forever.
I honestly feel like we're just getting cooking here.
You got to come back when you get your pickup for her story.
Excellent.
We
talked about all of our other individual successes.
Where can they find out more about you?
I'm online at Smartass Jen on everything. It's my website, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, all of that.
I'm on Twitter as La_WA, LA_WA, or Laura Zach on all other social. Yeah, I'm posting there. Yeah.
Follow these ladies.
Are you guys on Instagram too? Are you weirded out? Do you have a public Instagram?
Yeah. No, it's all right, public. Cool.
All right, let's do that too, yeah.
Steve is at...
Oh, you can find me at Big Hern on Twitter and Hernia on Instagram.
And follow the show at Reality Bites Pod on all the socials. Email us your questions at realitybitespod@gmail.com. Give us some stars on iTunes, okay? And come back next Tuesday for more Reality Bites. Bye. Hey guys, make sure you subscribe to the channel. There's gonna be new episodes every Tuesday. And subscribe on iTunes, follow us on all the socials. We're at Reality Bites Pod, Bites with a Y, always. And email us your questions at realitybitespod@gmail.com. See ya, bye.